We're doing the Nitivot Shloma Pashat Beit Hanan. Nachamu Nachamu Ami Omar Lokechem. The prophecy of comfort is the prophecy which we read this Shabbat after the Torah reading. The Haftarah is from the prophet Isaiah, as are going to be the seven prophecies of comfort the next 7 weeks. We read prophecies of comfort. Be comforted, my nation, so says your God. Shabbat Zoniket Shabbat Nachamu. So this coming Shabbos is called the Shabbos of comforting. Al Shem Shmaftirim Banachamu Nachamu Ami Umar Lokechem. Because we say in the Haftarah, we say the Haftarah begins with be comforted, my nation, so says your God. We're going to have seven prophecies of comfort from this week till Rosh Hashanah, and this is the first after Tisha B'Av, after the great boom tomorrow night. So we start a series of comfort, 7 weeks of comfort. So we have to explain what is this tremendous concept of a Shabbos of comfort and 7 weeks of comforting. In the Holy Works it says that after this period between Shiva Asar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, which represent the epitome of darkness, we go from Tisha B'Av into Shabbos, and on this Shabbos we read about how the Jewish people received the Torah, right? The recording of the Ten Commandments, the receiving of the Torah, is recorded again in our parsha, Parshat Veit Chanan. Ve'inyano shelachar shavru kazo et chashchut. The idea is that after we had such a period of darkness, v'nefila and downfall shel ben ha-mitzarim, tzarich leitchazek v'leitchadesh shuv v'lekabel atram chadash. After such a downfall of this period, we have to re-strengthen ourselves, we have to renew ourselves, and accept the Torah anew. And just as we find after the sin of the golden calf, there was such a breaking, such a the smashing of the Luchos, the Ten Commandments. And then there was an appeasement between God and Israel. God comes in and says, okay, I'll give you a second set of tablets. There will still be a covenant between us. So the Torah here teaches us, remember this concept, this is what was alluded to by Matthew a few minutes ago, that God's will is that no Jew left behind. Hashem says, I want everyone. And even when a person falls, I still want him to come back. No one should be left out. Even in the worst state, you know the story, the husband comes to the chuppah and they tell him, your kala went to the restroom for a minute, she'll be right back. And they're waiting there 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. He says, let me make sure everything's okay. He goes to the restrooms, the women's room, and he hears noise in another room. He goes to the other room and he sees his kala being intimate with someone else. What's wrong with her? He thought she told everyone she's in the restroom, and in the last minute she went with an old boyfriend. What's he supposed to do? Chazal tell us that's what happened with the golden calf. Here we are, we're at the chuppah. We're supposed to have the marriage ceremony. The Ribbono Shel Olam sends Moshe with the Ten Commandments, so what do? We go with the golden calf.
But he knew we were going to mess up.
That's true. That's true. So even in this terrible state where we've destroyed the greatest opportunity, we were supposed to become immortal had we lived up to the opportunity. And we messed up. And it was the worst you could imagine, because even though only 3,000 people actually served the calf, but everyone else was witness and they didn't protest. They stood by. These 3,000 people murdered Hur, and people stood by. Nonetheless, Yeshuv Kabbalat HaTorah Mechadash. God gives us another chance. Leval Yidach Mimenu Nidach, because one of the themes of the Torah is that Hashem says, I don't want anyone to be lost completely. Even though a person's fallen, even though they've messed up, I'm going to give them another chance. Yeah.
Wasn't that more as a result of Moses' pleading? I mean, And in a way, you are making new people left to you, and you.
When I was when I was a teenager, so I had a friend who was not such a big guy, and when he'd get upset at someone, he'd grab someone else and hold them in front of him and say, "Hold me back, hold me back, don't let me at him." And, you know, he'd grab the guy and hold him in front of him and say, "Don't let me at him." So the Ribbon Shem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Let go." He's telling him,
But the 3,000
correct.
So it's not that Hashem wants no one to be like, there are the ones he does not want to continue.
There are a few points. First of all, even the people who die get to the world to come. And secondly, there was a potential decree against everyone. And you're right, there does come a point in sin where Hashem says, okay, there is a punishment. No one's saying there aren't punishments. But in the big picture, Hashem doesn't want anyone left behind, even though people are at fault.
U'kemamar ha-katuv, imesak shamayim shamata, ve'atzi ha-sheol hinach.
The verse says, if I go up to the heavens, so that's where you are. But if I go down to perdition, you're there too. Meaning, one of the concepts that the Ribbon Shel Olam teaches us is that wherever you go, I'm with you and I'm rooting for you to come back.
Kasher Kadosh Baruch Hu Ozer LeYehudi, when Hashem helps a Jew, Bitaruta Dileila,
from above, there's this abundance, V'ubivchinat Imesak Shamayim, so then he feels like he's soaring. You have those mornings, you have those moments when suddenly everything seems to be going right.
Yodeu sheshamata.
He knows, okay, I'm soaring, Hashem's with me.
Uchmochen gam be'et ve'atzi ha-sheol,
but by the same token, when a person feels like he's down and out, everything's wrong.
Kshenafal l'shol tachtit.
He's at the bottom rung. He's gone down from the bottom rung. He's beneath the bottom rung. Nonetheless, he should know shehinach Shakadosh Baruch Hu imo. Nonetheless, Hashem is with him.
Ukmamar Maran Admo Babazaya la pasuk, and as the elder Rebbe said on the verse, Umoshe nigash la rafel asher sham Elokim.
There's a scary verse when Moshe makes his ascent at Sinai. It says Moshe proceeded to the mist, to the fog, and that was where Hashem was present, in the fog. We think Moshe proceeded to the light, to the clearing, to the fresh air. No, to the fog.
Fog. Umoshe nigash el ha'arafel. The fog. Sheyesh gimel pchinot. Chashchut. Choshech, anan, ve'arafel.
There are three levels, three aspects to darkness. There is darkness, there is the cloud, and then there is the arafel, which is the thickening of a cloud. That's a greater form of darkness.
V'zoka sham izo.
So that's the worst. Shi choshech, si choshech hu arafel, si choshecha meuva. The ultimate darkness is when the darkness seems to have substance. That's what arafel represents. A darkness that you can feel.
U'moshe nigash el arafel asher sham Elokim.
So Moshe walks into that darkness. The darkness you could feel, and that's where we're told, that's where Hashem was present.
Shegila, what Moshe revealed at that time was, Shebesi ha-chashchut, betoch ha-arafel,
even at the times of greatest darkness, Sham nimtza Elokim. God is still there with the person. We know Hashem is with us when everything seems to be going right. But what about when everything seems to be going wrong?
U'maran mekuvrin zchuto yegen aleinu amar.
And the Rebbe of Kuvrin said,
"Sheyudi shavar la'avera ha'chamura biyoter shebatorah."
If a Jew transgressed the worst mitzvah in the Torah, the most severe mitzvah in the Torah,
im eino mesugal achar kach litayatzev betfilav lishpoch libo lifnei Hashem itbarach,
if he finds that he cannot stand up and daven, how could I walk into shul? How could I pour my heart before Hashem?
Lo darach al miftan hachasidut. then obviously he never stepped on the doorstep of Chassidut. Interesting thought. Meaning without Chassidut, you could feel so broken. But with Chassidut, you should never feel so broken.
It says it right in the Navi that God doesn't want the Rosh to die, he wants him to live.
Okay, yeah, fair.
I mean, but before Chassidut.
Okay. V'achar kach osif, Matthew, listen closely. And then he added, Shelo darach al miftan hayadut. That it's not only a Chassidic thought, but a person who allows himself to be so broken never stepped on the doorstep of Judaism. Because that doorstep of Judaism, of Chassidut, shebalidach mimenu nidach, that Hashem doesn't want anyone to be lost. And even when a person fell great depths, he transgressed severe sins. Gam az v'atzi ashol hinach, as you said, that's what the verse says. If I go down to the depths of perdition, I know you're still there. Adayin yecholu lishpoch libo lifnei Hashem itbarach v'lechzor shuv el ha'shoresh. He could still pour his heart before Hashem and return to the root of it all. And I feel that very often it's a switch within a person, and it's a very pivotal switch within a person. Meaning when things go bad, so then the first moment a person feels like Hashem's out to get me. Look at what Hashem's doing to me. What am I going to talk to him for? He gave me this problem. He could have resolved the problem. He knows what I'm going through, and obviously he wants me to go through it. I wouldn't go as far as say it's his fault, but it's definitely, on some level we feel that way. And there's a switch that a person could make and should make, and that switch makes all the difference. When a person says, I'm going to talk to the Ribbono Shel'olam, I'm going to daven about it, what happens is the Ribbono Shel'olam changes from being the root of the problem to the root of the solution. And when a person does that, then the difficult situation can become a springboard for growth in one's relationship with the Ribbono Shel'olam. I could tell you many stories in that vein. Okay, we'll take the harshest story. Changing some facts to
avoid Lashon Hara,
right, to protect the privacy of some of the people involved. There was a family where the father, young father, he's 35, 38, and when he's 25, he's diagnosed with one type of cancer. So they fight that cancer and he's cured. And when he's 32, he's diagnosed with the second type of cancer, and they fight that cancer. And when he's 37, he's diagnosed with a third type of cancer, and they're all different cancers. So now, the family needs to understand, is there a genetic problem here? Is there something here that's causing his body to form so many different cancers? And they go for a test. And they're supposed to get the results on Sunday. And on Shabbos, they sit down for the meal. And the father tells them, you know, I couldn't go to sleep last night. Couldn't sleep. Understandable, right? He says, I was sitting up and thinking. And between 2 and 3 in the morning, I was pacing. And as I was pacing, I came to a realization. How could it be that if a person is pious, then he's suffering? How could it be? And then I realized that although suffering takes on a form that's difficult and painful, it is also one of the roots to connecting to the Ribbono Shel'olam. When a person has things going smooth, then they live their lives and they try to appease the gods. And when a person suddenly has to deal with hardship, their tefillah is totally different. Everything about their service of Hashem is different, and they're given the opportunity to turn and connect to the Ribbono Shel'olam. And when he shared this thought with me, I said to him, you know, that's the Medrash. The Medrash says, it's a Medrash in Bereishis, it's a Medrash in Shmos. The Medrash says, the reason the matriarchs couldn't have kids until a later date was because Hashem loves their prayer. We think that when we daven because we have a problem. And the Medrash is telling us it's the exact opposite. God gave us the problem so that we would daven. So there are a few Midrashim that go along that same line of reasoning. So this person took a situation where here he felt initially like he was the victim of God's wrath, and he changed it into a situation where he was now going to be the connector, the one who takes the step forward and says, okay, now I'm going to take this challenge and use it as a springboard to grow in my connection to Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is true for every person. At every juncture in our lives, when things get tough, this idea, Hashem doesn't want anyone lost, and Hashem always wants us coming back. And the only way a person can give up is if a person thinks, ah, God's turned on me. But if a person's willing to realize, no, I was given a challenge, and Hashem always wants to hear me, and on the contrary, maybe the challenge was so that I'd speak up. So then a person's approach is totally different.